You may have heard in the news recently the big debate that's going on about whether insurance companies should pay for birth control. And, you know, I heard that. It made me think of our worship leader, Greg, who, of course, some of you know is a lawyer. And you know, of course, how lawyers, what lawyers use for birth control, right? Their personality. I heard that joke this morning from somebody, and I thought, you know, can't waste a good joke. A few years ago, a company in Great Britain developed an electronic device to irritate teenagers who were loitering around convenience stores causing problems. And the device they made emits a 17 kilohertz tone. They call it a mosquito tone, which can be heard by kids under 25, but not by adults. What happened next is that some kid figured out how to take this tone and use it for their cell phone ringer, and that way they could sit in class texting each other, and they'd hear the tones, but their teacher wouldn't. And you see, what happens is inside our ears, there's these little hairs that as we grow and age, they're like microscopic hairs, but they wave with the impulse of sound waves coming in, and as we age, those hairs get worn down, and they actually get damaged, and so our hearing becomes less sensitive the older we become, and we lose the ability to hear high frequencies. And we actually did a test of this several years ago. If you've been around for a while, you may remember this, but I thought it's going to be appropriate to our message today, so I thought we'd do it again, and we're going to sort of do a little competition. We're going to find out who of us has young ears and how many of us have old, decaying, damaged ears. So it'll be a little competition. Here's how it'll work. I'm going to have our sound booth engineer play a series of high-pitched tones. And if you can hear the tone, then when it starts, I want you to raise your hand, and when it ends, you can put your hand down. So we'll get an idea who can hear what tones here. And just a warning, if high-pitched tones bother you, or if you've got a hearing aid, then you may want to be ready to cover your ears or something. But we're going to start with an 8 kilohertz tone that everybody in here should be able to hear. If you can't hear this, you probably need to go to an ear doctor or something. But let's go ahead and play that. Okay, that's 8 kilohertz. Hopefully everybody could hear that. Now, you'll notice at the beginning and at the end, there's a little click as the speakers come on, okay? If you can hear that, that doesn't mean you can hear the tone. You have to hear in between, all right? And that's going to be appropriate in a minute because some of you are not going to be able to hear the tone in the middle, but you'll hear the clicks, okay? Now we're going to play a 10 kilohertz tone. If you are 60 or under, you should be able to hear this tone, okay? Go ahead. Okay. Almost everybody could hear that. We may want to turn the speakers down a little bit. It sounds like they're overloading a bit. All right, now we're going to do 12 kilohertz. If you're 50 or under, you should be able to hear this. Okay, ready? Okay. Yeah, most of us can still hear that. Next is 14 kilohertz. If you're 45 or younger, or if you have especially good ears, you should be able to hear this. Go ahead. I can sort of hear that one. That one's a little harder, huh? Okay. And remember, not just the clicks, but the tone in the middle. All right. Now we're going to we just did 14, right? 15 kilohertz, 40 or younger should be able to hear this. Go ahead. All right. I sort of can't hear that one in the middle. 16 kilohertz, 30 or younger. Go ahead. Okay, I didn't hear that one at all. I mean, not even close. Greg is lying, like lawyers do. All right, in fact, I'll tell you what. Everybody who could hear what was that, a 16 kilohertz tone, stand up, okay? We're going to continue our competition here. All right, this is the young people in our congregation. All right. Now, 17 kilohertz, this is actually the mosquito tone I was talking about. If you're 24 or younger, you should be able to hear this, all right? Go ahead. Yeah, you hear the click. let's start it again, okay? Just right now. Okay, so if you could hear that, keep standing. The last one we're going to do is a 20 kilohertz tone. If you're 18 or younger, you should be able to hear this, all right? Go. All right, so here we have our winners, who are the young years in the audience. All right, now some of you are wondering, and you can sit down now. Some of you are wondering, why are we doing a hearing test in church? Okay, that's a good question, I have no idea. No, we're in a series on discovering God's will, and we've talked about the various ways that God can communicate his will to us. We've talked about how he talks to us through the Bible, how he shows us his will through the wise counsel of other people. We've talked about how he can give us pictures or visions that show us the direction he wants us to go. There's a number of ways that God can direct us, but one thing is common to them all. To all the ways that God shows us his will, one thing is common: none of them will work if our ears are closed. If we are not open to what God wants to show us, then it won't matter how he tries to communicate his will to us. So we're going to talk this week about how we can improve our hearing from God. You see, just like age can cause our physical ears to lose their sensitivity and we can't hear some of the things we used to, there are things that can cause our spiritual ears to become deaf or that prevent us from ever hearing God in the first place. And the truth is that all of us need guidance from God. We need to be able to hear from God, you know, should I marry this person or not? How should I deal with my kids in this situation? You know, what do I do about this job or should I move or, you know, how do I handle this person that's bugging me? God wants to give you guidance on all of these areas in your life, but we've got to be able to hear him. Jesus tells us in Luke 8:18, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you're old enough, you can probably remember back in the 70s when everybody was getting CB radios. Anybody here ever have a CB radio? And you'd talk on them to other cars who had those. And one of the common sayings you'd hear was, have you got your ears on? And what that meant is, are you tuned in? Are you got your CB radio on? Are you on my frequency? Well, Jesus is saying here, if you've got ears to hear, then listen. Have you got your ears on? Tune in. Pay attention. And then he tells us a story to help us understand why people have a hard time hearing God. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. This is page 668 in your pew Bible. And the story he tells is about a farmer who sows some seed in his field. And the seed falls on four different kinds of soil. And depending on the kind of soil that it falls on, different things happen to that seed. Some just lays there or dies. Other of the seed springs up and produces a huge crop. Well, fortunately, the disciples ask Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? And Jesus gives us the explanation later in the same chapter. Jesus tells us that the farmer represents God, the seed is what God wants to say to us, and the soil represents your mind. And he says there are four different kinds of soil, which represents the four attitudes or ways of responding when God speaks to us. Now, he doesn't tell this parable so that we can start to categorize people and say, oh, that guy is rocky soil or he's good soil or things like that. No, the fact is that all of us at various times in our lives could be any of these four types of soil. Would you agree that there are some times when you are very open to hearing what God says? There's other times in your life when you've been fairly closed and had a closed mind. So this could be any of us. Jesus starts by talking about the hardened hearer. In Matthew 13:3, he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, in first century Palestine or Israel, everybody walked everywhere that they wanted to go. And so the fields were crisscrossed by paths. It's not like today where, you know, fields are pretty much just full of the crop and no paths through it at all. In fact, the Gospels describe, if you remember, how Jesus and his disciples would walk through the fields, and sometimes they'd pick off the grain or things to eat, which was permitted back then. And also, Israel had a very dry climate, and so some of these paths would have been packed rock hard, just like pavement. And if seed fell on those paths, then it would just lie there until birds came along and ate it up. So what is Jesus referring to by his illustration of the path? He explains it in verse 18. He says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When people hear the message about the kingdom and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path." And so Jesus is talking about people who are around the church. They're around other Christians. They maybe have Christians in their family or at work or around them. And they're like these pathways crisscrossing the field and going around the field. And so they're around the faith. They hear the word, but the word can't sink in. Something inside them has made their hearts hardened so that they aren't responsive to God's word. They aren't open to the truth. They don't allow themselves to be affected and changed by God's word. And the hardened path is the person who looks in a mirror but doesn't allow himself to look long enough so that he can examine his life. And for this person, if there's a problem, if there's something going wrong in my life, it's always somebody else's fault. You know, it's my wife's fault, or my husband's fault, or my boss's fault, or my parents' fault. It's always somebody else. It can't be that I need to change. It can't be that, you know, I need God in my life. And what causes this person to be a hardened hearer? Well, there are three typical causes for that: self-centeredness, pride, and bitterness. First, self-centeredness. People say, well, if I listen to God, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me that I am not the center of the world, that it's not all about me, and I don't want to hear that. And so, you know, if I listen to God, I might have to change my lifestyle, or I might have to start loving others and serving others instead of trying to get them to serve me, and I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to close my mind. Second, pride can cause us to harden our heart. People say, well, I am just fine like I am. I don't need God. I don't need anything outside myself. I don't need a crutch. I can do my own thing. I'm doing just fine right now. Let me tell you the truth. Pride is always a smokescreen for insecurity. Find somebody at work or school or wherever, and you know, they got a big ego. It's all about them. Pride is always a result of insecurity. Underneath, they're feeling small, and so they want to make themselves look big. And then third, bitterness can cause us to close our mind. We go through problems and hurts and difficulties and trials in life, and some people respond the wrong way, and they become bitter. You've heard me say many times that the way we respond to hurts in life will either make us bitter or better. And if we allow it to make us bitter, then we start to put up these walls around our life. We say, well, I'm never going to let that person hurt me again. I'm never going to open up and let anybody else hurt me. And we may not intend it, but we also put up walls to God. Because when we're holding on to bitterness, we cannot hear God. So I want to encourage you, never allow somebody else or some other hurt to keep you from hearing God. When you think about it, it's really kind of dumb. They already hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by closing you off from God, by shutting you off from hearing God. And so first, Jesus talks about the hardened hearers. Second type of person that Jesus talks about in this parable is the superficial hearer. In verse 5, he says, "Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root." When I was a senior in college, I was really into long distance running. And I, in the spring of that year, I ran two long races. The first one was the Virginia Beach Marathon. And it was early in the spring. And as a result, I was waiting until the snow was gone and you know, weather cleared up so that I could start training for this marathon. But we had sort of late winter, and so I didn't actually start training for this marathon until 3 weeks beforehand. Now, I was in great shape, the best shape of my life, and so I thought, no problem, I can still handle it. You know, 3 weeks is plenty. Well, the day of the race came, I was running with some of my friends who were real fast runners, And we started off at a blistering pace. We were doing 630 miles. For those of you who are runners, you know what that means. And about a 250 marathon pace. And I was feeling good, just staying right with them, and felt great for 17 miles. And then I hit the wall. I had nothing left. And I walked half of the remaining distance, had my worst marathon time ever. Well, several months after that, I ran another race. This one wasn't a 26-mile race. It was a 50-mile race, longest race I ever ran. But this time, I had trained a lot. I had been doing 18 miles a day for several weeks in advance. I was in the best condition of my life. And that race, I started off really slow. I let everybody else take off. I was starting off at 8-minute miles, just taking it easy, sort of out jogging, because I knew this is a long race. You know, these guys who start out fast, they're not going to keep that up. And so I started off relaxed. The whole race, I was passing people. It was such a fun race because it's always fun when you're passing others. I got to the 26-mile point when a marathon would be over, and I felt like I had hardly used any energy at all. I mean, I was great. Now, it didn't stay that way the whole time. By about 35, I was dead, but everybody else was more dead than I was. And so I ended up keeping passing people the whole way, ended up 24th out of 400, one of my best races I ever ran. What's the point of the story? It's obvious. It's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish that counts. And Jesus tells this story about the seed, and he said, it started out great. It springs up quickly. It's grown faster than the other. It looks really good. And then it died. Jesus is teaching this parable in Israel. And in Israel, when they talk about rocky soil, they're not talking about soil with a bunch of rocks in it. They're actually talking about a bedrock. If you look at the geography of the land of Israel, there's this bedrock of limestone that goes underneath much of the land, and there's like a couple inches of soil on top of the bedrock. But if you try and plant crops or seed in that shallow soil, it'll sprout quickly. But then when the heat comes, it'll wither away because there's not enough soil to let the roots go deep. Initially, it springs up quickly. Initially, it looks better than the other plants around it, but it doesn't last. And Jesus says that is like the response of some people who hear God's word, and they're impulsive people, so they respond in excitement. They respond positively, but it doesn't last because they don't let it sink in to the bedrock of their personality. They listen to it, but it doesn't sing in for the long term. My wife, Kathy, has a brother-in-law in South Carolina. And for years, he had no interest at all in spiritual things, wouldn't listen, was not, you know, interested in hearing anything about God. And then one day, we heard that he had this dramatic turnaround. And he had gone to this little Baptist church in South Carolina and got saved, and all of a sudden was really excited about God. He was going to church every time the doors were open. It was just a huge turnaround for him, and we were so excited for him. This was like an answer to prayer. It was great, and it lasted 6 months. And then somebody in that little church offended him, and he said, forget this, and he quit. Went back to living exactly the same way he had before. No change. Jesus explains this in verse 20. He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to people who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And we all know people like this, don't we? They seem really excited about God for a while. Maybe it's a couple months or a couple weeks or a couple days, but then it's like they're on to other things and their interest is gone. Why does that happen? It's because God's word didn't sink deeply into their hearts. Now, what does that even mean for it to sink deeply? What does it mean for roots to go down deep? Well, when the Bible talks about your heart or your soul, it's essentially the same thing, interchangeable, heart and soul. And what it means, the definition of soul, is your mind, will, and emotions. And when you hear the word, it needs to sink into all three of those, your mind, will, and emotions, or else it's not going to last. For example, some people are what I would call willpower Christians. The word has sunk into their will, but not the rest of them. Their motivation for following God is not love or relationship with God, but pure willpower. You know, I don't feel like following Christ. I don't have any real love there, but I know I'm supposed to do it. And so by pure force of will, I'm going to make myself do the right thing. I'm going to make myself follow. And the seed has entered their will, but not into their emotions or their mind. And these people look good on the surface. They're doing all the right things, at least for a period of time. They're going to church. They're doing the right stuff. They look like other Christians. But all the time, they're having to force themselves to do it. And you know what happens after some period of time? Is you get tired. And when you get really tired, willpower isn't enough. You see, when the emotions are left out of your relationship with God, it's often because underneath that will is a bedrock of unyielded, unhealed emotions from hurts of the past. Maybe there's bottled up anger or depression or burnout or hopelessness, but the willpower Christian says, I may not feel any love for God, I may not feel any emotions, but I'm just going to keep on going. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to force it. But all the time, underneath is that bedrock of the emotional life so that the seed cannot get into. And so this person feels like they've never gotten intimate with God. There's never a real love relationship there. And eventually, the willpower runs out. Now, then there's the opposite kind of Christian, the very emotional Christian, where the seed is planted in the thin layer of emotions. And these people get excited about Jesus and they run around and say, oh, praise the Lord this, praise the Lord that. But it's all emotion, all froth, no substance. And you see, underneath the emotion, there's this bedrock of the mind or the intellect that the seed is not able to get down into or hasn't gotten down into. And so when one day they run into questions or doubts about their faith. Maybe it's doubts about God's justice, or why is there pain and evil in the world, or you know, what about the Bible? Is it really true? Whatever it might be, they've never allowed the seed to dig into the bedrock of their mind and intellect. In other words, they've never studied the Word, researched the truth, and answered these tough questions. And as a result, they have all this doubt that's undermining their faith. And so one day those doubts rise to the surface and it destroys their faith. Maybe you've seen that happen in people around you. Maybe you're dealing with that right now yourself. This is very common among teenagers who grow up in church and then they go off to college. And their faith just evaporates. And it's because they had an emotional faith, but they never dug down deep. They never allowed that seed to go down into their mind. They never answered the tough questions with adult answers. They have sort of a Sunday school faith, Sunday school answers to the tough questions of life. And eventually, those are not enough. And it catches up with them and they wither and die. Now, here's the problem with the superficial hearer. You can't tell who they are. With the hardened hearer, it's obvious. Everybody can see that. With the superficial hearer, you can't tell because they look just like everybody else around in church. They look like they have genuine faith. They've had a genuine spiritual experience. You can't tell who's real and who's superficial. It's hard sometimes to even tell about yourself because our hearts can deceive us. Happens all the time. You can't tell the superficial hearer until the test comes. What is the test? The test is how we handle difficulty and problems. Again, look at verse 20. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground, first to people who hear the word and at once receive with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's the test. When the trial hits a true Christian, the true Christian is driven toward God. They run into the Father's arms when they're in pain or hurt or difficulties come. But when trial comes to a superficial Christian, they run away. They go the opposite direction. You see, that hard rock of unbelief has never really been plowed up in their life, and the roots don't go deep. And so when the heat is on, the hard times come, the roots wither and dry, and the superficial Christian says something like, you know, I always suspected that God would let me down. Or I always thought that, you know, Christianity didn't really work. I hear people say, well, you know, he or she left the church because of the problems with their child. Or he left the church because his parents died. Or she left the church because of their rocky marriage. Jesus says, no, that is never the real reason. It's never the things around us, the difficulties or trials you go through that drive you away from God or drive you away from God's people. The hard times are just the test of what's already on the inside of us. The hard times simply reveal what's already in your heart. But it's what's going on in us that makes the difference. Hard times just reveal your heart. During hard times, a superficial Christian says, you know, I deserve better. You know, God, if you're not going to allow me to get married, if you're not going to give me a baby, if you're not going to give me a better job, if you're not going to heal my child, well, just forget it. The hard times just reveal your heart. But the true Christian says, you know what? I made my decision, and I am going to stand by it no matter what comes along. And I know that everything good that's in my life comes from God in the first place. It's all by His grace. And I don't know why things aren't going well. I don't know why God doesn't seem to be answering my prayer right now. I don't know. One day I will know, but right now I don't know. But I will trust Him anyway. I still trust Him. And I'm going to keep on following. That's how a true Christian reacts. The third type of hearer that Jesus talks about is the natural hearer. Matthew 13:7, it says, other seed fell among thorns, or some translations say among weeds, which grew up and choked out the plants. What's he talking about here? In verse 22, it tells us, the seed falling among the thorns refers to people who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, why do I call this the natural hearer? Have you noticed that weeds are natural to the soil? They grow naturally in the garden. Whereas grass seed or corn or beans or tomatoes or whatever else you might want to grow in your garden, those are not natural. In order to get those to grow and to prosper, you have to prepare and cultivate the soil. You have to fertilize. You have to water them. You have to pull the weeds. It does not happen naturally. So Jesus is saying to us, if you do what just comes naturally to you, if you just go with the flow, then here's what will happen. Your hearts will be quickly filled with weeds, and they will eventually choke out whatever God wants to say to you. You won't be able to hear it because of the weeds. You won't be able to respond to it. You see, weeds are the things that come naturally to us without any effort or work. We are naturally lazy. We naturally want to sleep in the morning, and then when we do get up, we naturally like to relax in the lazy boy with the newspaper or turn on the TV, and we naturally like to hold on to our money and just blow it on anything we want and you know, do whatever we want with it. What comes naturally to us is the things that are no effort at all. And those things generally are laziness, lust, apathy, anxiety, fear of the future, selfishness. All those things come into our human heart. I think everything's still right down here, Dan. It's not my fault. Okay. All those things come into our hearts naturally. And that means that if you don't do anything about cultivating your heart, and fertilizing and pulling the weeds, then your heart will naturally be filled with anxiety and fear and anger and lust and those things. It takes effort and energy and discipline to set your alarm clock to get up when it's still dark outside and read your Bible and pray. It takes effort and energy and discipline and self-restraint to choose to fast for a day or 2 days to ask God for a breakthrough in your life or in your family's life. It takes intentional planning and discipline and effort to tithe and to be faithful in giving your tithe to the church. That doesn't come naturally for anybody. It is just not natural when you are tired at the end of a long day and you just want to veg out all evening. It's not natural to get in your car and drive to a small group and invest in relationships and connection with other in church and worship. That is not natural. Spiritual growth does not come naturally to us. The growth of the kingdom of God in our lives is unnatural. The Christian life is not a natural life. It is a spiritual life. It is like foreign seed that has to be planted into our lives from above and has to be cultivated and watered and fertilized and all those things in order to grow. It's simply not natural for us to make room for God in our lives. Psalm 10:4 tells us that. It says, "In their pride, the wicked do not seek him. In all their thoughts, there is no room for God." The natural thing in our lives is for there to be no room for God. Some of you struggle with that every day and every week, in making room for God. You see, if we follow our natural inclinations, there will be no room for God. And so we need to be intentional about making space in our lives for God, because the daily routines of life, the cooking and the cleaning and the hauling kids around and the projects and at work and the bosses and shopping and TV and, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, school assignments, all those things come into our lives and flow into our lives naturally. But the things of God do not flow naturally into our lives. And you know what a weed really is? A weed is anything that keeps you from having time with God. It keeps you from having time to hear God's voice. A weed really is simply a sign of neglect. All you have to do to have weeds in your garden is just neglect the garden for a little while. Guaranteed, they'll be there. It's a sign of neglect. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are the signs of neglect in your life? What are the things that God is trying to speak to you about, but you've allowed some of these weeds to choke out what he's saying? What are the signs of neglect? Finally, Jesus talks about the good hearer. In Matthew 13, verse 8, he says, "Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." What is he talking about? He tells us in verse 23, "But the seed falling on good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Good soil, of course, is the good hearer, the person who hears God's word, presses forward with it, receives it in, lets it affect them and change them, and as a result, they produce a huge crop of fruit in their lives. Now, let's get really practical for just a minute, and then we're going to close. But if God were to do like a spiritual brain scan on you this morning, what would it show? Would you be a hardened hearer? Would you be absolutely convinced that God is not going to speak to you, that maybe he can't even talk to you? You're just sure it won't happen? Because you're absolutely right. You won't hear God speak as long as your heart is hard. Maybe you didn't mean to, but maybe you have allowed something to harden your heart along the way. Maybe it's been hurt or bitterness or resentment. You've allowed it to harden your heart. Question: how does God soften a hard heart? It's pretty simple. It's the same way God softens hardened soil. He sends rain, a deluge, a storm. The rain pours down and the storm comes, and eventually even the hardest clay is softened up. Maybe you have a storm in your life right now. Maybe you have a trial or circumstance that are difficult or problems. And God is trying to soften your heart. He's trying to get through to you and say, hey, you matter so much to me. I love you so much. Please, will you please listen? Will you open up your heart? Will you soften your heart to me? Because I love you so much. How about if God did an x-ray on you this morning? Would it show that you have a superficial heart, or you're a superficial hearer? In other words, you'd say, well, I'm a believer, but there's no real depth there. Maybe it's all emotion or all willpower, but no depth. What's the test of your roots if you're superficial? How do you know if you've got deep roots or that you're superficial? It's simple. You ask yourself, do I wilt when the heat's on, when hard times come? How do you get more depth in your life? That's pretty simple, too. The answer is simple. It's not easy to carry out. It's spending time with God every day. That's how you develop the roots. When you take time every day to read your Bible and listen to God and pray to God, and you spend time every day, that's how the deep roots are formed. That's how you avoid the superficial life. Or if God did a spiritual x-ray on you, would it show that you're a natural hearer? In other words, you kind of go with the flow and whatever feels natural, but it's funny how what feels natural never seems to allow for much time with God, and it doesn't take you closer in your relationship to Him, and you don't feel like you're growing, and you don't feel like you have an intimate relationship with Him. That's what the natural life brings. I want to challenge you this morning that this week you'll make this your prayer. Say, God, help me to be a good listener. Help me to make time, whatever it takes. Help me to develop an open mind to whatever you're saying. Help me this week to make time to listen, to eliminate the distractions in my life, and to cooperate with what you want to say to me in my life. Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like the worship band to come up. As we bow together, maybe there's some of you here this morning that you've been listening to me talk about hearing God, but you're not absolutely sure that you've even got a relationship with God. Maybe you're not sure that you're a part of His family and that He's forgiven you and wants to speak to you. You can become sure of that right now. Just say with me in your heart, God can hear your thoughts, and say something like this: God, please forgive me for not hearing you when you've tried to speak to me in the past. And right now, I open myself to you. I want to accept your forgiveness and your love into my life. I want to start living for you and listening to you. And I want to find out the great plan that you have for me and for my life. And so I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done so that I can have a personal relationship with you, so that I can not only talk to you but can listen to you for guidance and help in my life. Thank you, Lord. Now for all of us here this morning, would you all say this in your heart? God, help me this week to cultivate an open mind. Help me this week to make time to listen to you. Help me to eliminate the distractions, eliminate the weeds that would take away from my time with you. Help me to cooperate with what you want to say to me. Right now, just for a few seconds, let's be silent and just ask God, what is it that you want to say to me right now? What do you want me to hear right now? Let's just take a few seconds of silence. If you will simply ask that question and take time to listen each day in your prayer time, you will hear God speak to you. But you have to be willing to take time to listen. So, Father, we ask that you'll help us all to be open to your will and open to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.